Good morning. This is Steve Taylor, and thankful to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you as I sit around the dining room table. Pray that you're having a good day today, and that the Lord is blessing you and showing Himself strong on your behalf. And certainly that's the message that I want to share with you today, is that our God is able, our God is faithful, our God is true to Himself, and true to His promises to us. I want to share with you from the book of Isaiah. I'll be mainly in chapters 37 and 36 of the book of Isaiah. I invite you to get your Bibles and turn to the Word of God and share it with me, read it with me. This is a time in the history of the nation of Judah that the Lord had prospered them in a mighty way. They had been under the reign of probably the most wicked king in the history. And then his son Hezekiah was brought in to be the king of Judah. And he restored, but with God's help, he restored worship back, true worship back. His father has taken away the things concerning the temple. He had erected idols throughout the city of Jerusalem. He had swayed the people even to go up into the hills and groves of trees and there make sacrifices to their idols. And as a result, the house of God became in disrepair. So when Hezekiah became king, the first thing that he did was he went and he opened up the house of God and allowed the light to shine back into that place. They did a cleansing of the house of God from the top to the bottom. They swept the dust out. They took the dust of the temple out to the brook Kidron, and there it was washed away. A time of revival took place in the nation of Judah. I encourage you to read during the time period when Hezekiah was king. This was at a high point in the history of Judah. The king of Assyria decided that he was going to overtake them. He decided that he was going to send his army against the people of Judah, particularly the city of Jerusalem, for if he could overcome the city of Jerusalem, then the people would follow him. So we pick it up. I'm going to bounce back and forth between the 37th and the 36th chapter of Isaiah. But we read in Isaiah chapter 37, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent," or he tore his clothes, "and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz." I pray the Lord will add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we continue to look at the Word of God concerning this particular time in the history of the people. I've given you the background for it, but let me give you some of the details that we find in Isaiah chapter 36. Details of how that the captain of the Assyrian army, whose name was Rabshakeh, he came up against the people and he began to try to interject thoughts into their minds. He really wanted to interject doubt. That is one of Satan's most used tools. Doubt, which leads to fear. And so, as he came to the people, and he began to talk with them. And I guess one of the first mistakes they made was to listen. Actually, to listen to him. But he was telling them concerning, asking them, what confidence do you have? What is it that you're trusting? That you think this source of power and strength and wisdom is going to deliver you from me. So he began to try to intimidate them. He said, give me pledges, and I will give to you 2,000 horses. This is in Isaiah 36 and verse 8. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you're able on your part to set riders upon them. If you have enough people that know, enough military, enough militia, if you have enough horsemen that know how to handle themselves on horses, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you have enough men to set on them. But he said, how then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? If you had 2,000, you still would not be able to beat us, is what he was saying. So he began to intimidate them. I think that one of the worst things that any church congregation can say, or any individual of God's people can say as far as that's concerned, is that I'm not able. I'm not able. You see, if the enemy can cause us to take our thoughts, our minds away from the ability of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, if the enemy can take our minds away from Him to say, I'm too weak, I'm too small, I don't have power, I don't have the resources, he's won half the battle right there. So the first thing he tried to do was intimidate them, say, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you have 2,000 men that can ride them. Problem was, these people were farmers that he was talking to. They weren't militia. So intimidation became a factor. They began to doubt themselves. But the enemy doesn't stop there. You go down to verse 14 of Isaiah 36, and he's continuing to talk to them, and he's getting a little louder with his voice, trying to drive into them this doubt and fear. And he said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He won't be able to deliver you. You see, now he's driving a wedge. He's driving a wedge, a separation from Hezekiah. Don't believe Hezekiah. Don't let him deceive you. He is not able. He's not stronger than the king of Assyria. And furthermore, don't let him say to you that the Lord will deliver you. Then he began to talk about the gods of other lands. And he mentioned them by name and said, where are they now? Were they able to stop us? Their gods were not stopping us. What makes you think your God is going to stop us? Wrong question. That began to stir within them this renewed worship of God that they had been restored back to in the years prior to this. But they didn't answer him, which is wisdom. I bear with me with what I'm about to say. But I hear people quite often saying that they have a conversation with the devil. Oh, listen, that's dangerous, dangerous territory. We're not stronger than Satan. We're not wiser than Satan. We don't have the cunning and ability that he has. And if we try to start arguing with Satan on our own, he's going to defeat us every time. But the good news of that is we have an advocate. We have an intercessor. We have one who stands between us and our Heavenly Father as light. And we have one that stands between us and Satan as our defense. So they didn't answer him a word, which was absolute wisdom. Don't try to argue with the devil. You won't win. So now we come to three things that this Rabshakeh, the captain, has tried to do. He's tried to intimidate, he's tried to drive a wedge, and now he's trying to cause doubt of God's ability, which all of those things lead to fear in their lives. So now the word comes to Hezekiah, who is king. What's he going to do? How's he going to deal with this? Well, the first thing that we read in verse 1 of Isaiah 37 was, he tore his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth. If I understand that correctly, he's expressing sorrow that this struggle, that this situation has come upon his people. But at the same time, he's humbling himself before the Lord. He's not depending upon his king's garments. He's not depending upon his own crown. He's not depending upon his scepter. Rather, he's humbling himself. He covered himself with sackcloth and he went into the house of the Lord. What a sweet thought that is, and a sweet example for you and for me this morning, that when struggles come, the best place that we can go. Sometimes we find people, we see people, when they have problems in life, they try to run away from God. Thank God Hezekiah did not run away from God. Rather, he ran to God. He ran to Him. He went into the house of the Lord. Several messages ago, I tried to preach concerning in Psalm 23, where David spoke of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And what that means is, if I understand it, is it isn't a geographical location of being in a physical house of God, a church building, a sanctuary. Although, if we have the ability to do that, it's not a bad thing to be able to go in and bow down and pray before God. But it is a sense of, in our hearts and our minds, being humbled, being brought to a place where that we can pour out our hearts before God. Dwelling in the house of God is an expression of seeking that fellowship, relationship, that answer from God that we need at that moment. Now, no doubt Hezekiah literally went into the house of the Lord. As I said, if we can do that, that's a wonderful thing. But if we can't go into the house of the Lord in a literal sense, in our hearts and minds, we can humble ourselves and as it were, to be in that place of fellowship, love, and devotion unto the Lord. So the first thing Hezekiah did was he ran to God. Isaiah 37, verse 3. The elders and the priests had come to him, and it says, and they said unto him, as they went to Isaiah, he sent them to Isaiah, and they said to Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. I'm troubled about this, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. The king of Assyria has sent his captain, who has blasphemed our God. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth birth. They're almost there. They're almost at a place where that they're in that absolute relationship with God. But now Satan, you see, it seems the closer we try to walk with God, the more Satan comes at us. If we're walking out there on the edge and trying to have fellowship with the Lord and with the world at the same time, Satan's got us where he wants us. But as we seek to find fellowship with the Lord, he's going to come at us with everything he has. He's going to intimidate us. He's going to drive a wedge. He's going to cause doubt and fear. And so this is they're going to the man of God, to the prophet Isaiah, and they're saying that they were just almost there, and now all of a sudden they're facing this hardship. They want him to pray for them. It says, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria's master hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Pray for us. Listen, we have the greatest intercessor of all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor. There are times we need friends in our lives that we know are praying for us, that we know that they're lifting us up to the Lord. We know that they are calling our name in their prayer life unto the Lord. So they spoke these words to Isaiah, and God blessed. Isaiah said to them, "Thus shall you say to your master," you go back to King Hezekiah, this is what God says, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherefore the servants of the king of Syria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him." In other words, God said, "I'm going to handle this." You know, it's the same situation in type that the people of Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea. You remember the words of God? "Fear not. The battle is not yours. I'm going to fight this battle for you." And that's exactly what he's saying through the prophet Isaiah to the king Hezekiah, to the people. And that's exactly what God is saying to you and to me today. I found in my life the worst thing that I can do is try to handle my struggles and my problems and my situations all on my own. I can't do it. I can't build a mountain, but I sure can build a mountain out of a molehill. As you think about this, God is saying to them, this struggle is calling for your faith. This struggle is calling for your trust. This struggle is calling for your confidence, not in yourself, but in the Lord. God is saying, trust me. Trust me. And as we begin to continue to read on through here, Rabshakeh returns back to the king of Assyria, and as they go on along, we find that they're giving this report back, and the king is upset about it. Hezekiah, though he has received the word from Isaiah, "Don't be afraid, fear not, the Lord has heard your words." We find in Isaiah 37 and verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. There he is again. Went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I picture him on his knees, and I picture him with these papers, these scrolls, whatever it was that the letters were written on, and he just spreads them out before him. And he doesn't do it to cause worry, but rather he's taking that situation, that circumstance, he's spreading it out, he's presenting it to the Lord. The old song, "Take your burdens to the Lord and do what? Leave it there." He spread these papers out before the Lord and he began to pray. Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. I find here the perfect pattern. When we have situations and struggles in our lives that we have to deal with, there's no greater way to deal with them than simply to take it to the Lord. Present it to the Lord and trust Him. Trust Him for the answer. Trust Him for the direction. Trust Him for the victory. In the New Testament, Peter, in the first letter that he wrote to the strangers that were scattered, he said, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." That's what Hezekiah did. He humbled himself. He says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will lift you up." Another old song, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will lift you up. He'll exalt you in due time, casting all your care. Spread it out before the Lord. Present it to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Peter says, humble yourselves. We read in Hebrews, in closing this morning, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, this intercessor, this advocate that goes between us and God as light, that goes between us and Satan as our defense and protector. We have a great high priest. We have an intercessor that is passed into the heavens. And he's going to be very specific. He says, I don't want you to even have to guess who it is. I want to tell you, it's Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Hold fast our profession of faith. When things are going well, we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Then sometimes when we have the problems and the difficulties in life, we fail to run to Him. It says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, that's a double negative which makes a positive, which says we have a high priest who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by the things that we struggle with. He's concerned with the things, not to the point of saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to help them with this? No, he's touched because it's bothering us, because it's casting intimidation or wedges or doubts or fears. He's touched by those things. He was in all points tempted like as we are, but he was without sin. So if we trust him, if we follow him, he's going to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What's the conclusion of that? Seeing then that we have this great high priest who is touched by the things that bother us, the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, when I read this, my first thought was, is there a contradiction? Peter says, humble yourselves. The writer of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul, says, come boldly. Humble yourselves. Come boldly. Humble yourselves. Come boldly. Is that a contradiction? No, it's not. And the reason that I don't believe it's a contradiction is because Peter is saying, humble yourself. The writer of Hebrews is saying, come boldly in Christ. We can go boldly into the throne of grace and there find mercy and grace to help in time of need, because we do have this Savior, this one who loves us so much, our Heavenly Father who loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And this only begotten Son, Jesus the Son of God, loves us so much that He gave His life for us. If He loves us that much, then surely He says, come to me as my children. Come to me with that firm relationship and understanding that my love for you is never ending. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So come boldly in that love. Lord, I have a need. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what decision to make. I need you, Lord. Just as He helped Hezekiah, just as He's helped countless millions of others, He will help you and He will help me in every struggle if we'll simply trust Him and obey His word to us. May God bless you is my prayer. I pray that the word today will be a source of encouragement and uplifting to you. And I pray that we together will continue in our worship and our praise and our service unto the Lord God Almighty. This is my prayer. Thank you and amen.